This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Get out of here. You've got to be kidding me.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Bill Belichick, he will not be a first ballot Pro Football Hall of Fame head coach.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Today's guests, 49ers fullback Kyle Juszczyk, Ravens head coach Jesse Minter, actor Ted McGinley, and now it's Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, live on Disney Plus, the ESPN app, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Hello to our podcast listeners who choose to listen to us whenever you want. That's all good in that hood. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Joe Brady is being introduced as the newest head coach of the Buffalo Bills as we speak. Jesse Minter is already about a half an hour into his introductory press conference as the newest head coach of the Ravens. I'd like that press conference to end because I don't want Jesse Minter being all talked out when he joins us. Because, you know, once this is over, you got to meet with the local media and all that stuff. I need fresh Minter. You know what I mean? Put that down. That's a new fantasy team name.
Is it just fresh Minter or,
fresh Minter.
Or I need fresh Minter?
Or Minter Fresh. This Minter Fresh edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Ted McGinley's joining us in hour number three. He is positively delightful.
Oh,
and delightful in the, and that word is perfect to describe the show Shrinking, which is back on Apple TV. Susie and I love the show.
Love it.
And it is back. Harrison Ford and that incredible cast. I can't wait to chat with Ted McGinley again in hour number three. Kyle Juszczyk is up first. I've got a power rankings of the top 10 storylines of Super Bowl 60 you're going to be sick and tired of by the end of the week, next week. I do that every year, normally on a Wednesday, but we got too busy talking about how Bill Belichick got hosed. Good to see you over there, Chris. How are you? How are you?
I'm excellent.
Okay. What's up, good man? To see you, Jason Feller. How are you?
What's up, Rich? What's doing great.
Oh, good to see you. TJ Jefferson candle appears to be lit over there.
Candle is lit. Smells great over here.
Oh, good. Oh, thank you for
Minter
that.
Fresh.
Is it Minter Fresh? Is it a Minter Fresh candle?
Minter Fresh. Fresh goes better.
I mean, it is a very good Minter Fresh situation. Listen, Bill Belichick still isn't a first ballot Hall of Famer. And I'll be honest with you.
We ain't fixed that yet?
I'll be honest with you. I was saying yesterday, the Hall of Fame can't do anything about it because they hand the voting off to the voters, and they can't put their thumb on the scale in any way, shape, or form. And then a press release comes out from the Hall of Fame yesterday, and I thought to myself, are they really going to tell them to turn the machines back on? Like, is this a trading places moment? But of course not. The release came, it was a statement on media reports related to the Hall of Fame's class of 2026. The Pro Football Hall of Fame understands and respects the passionate reaction of many fans, media members, and enshrinees of the Hall itself in light of published reports regarding the voting results of the class of 2026. It's that very passion that propels the game. The Hall also respects the members of the selection committee when they follow the selection process bylaws. It is an honor to serve as a selector. Each year, the Hall reviews the selection process and the composition of the 50-person selection committee. If it is determined that any members violated the selection process bylaws, they understand action will be taken. That could include the possibility of such selectors would not remain a member of the committee moving forward. The selection of a new class is the most important duty the Hall of Fame oversees each year, and the integrity of that process cannot be in question. And that's it. And that was left to be interpreted by everyone out there. My phone blew up yesterday. What do you think? What do you think? What are you hearing? Or theories? And they ranged from somebody in that room did something with their vote that they shouldn't have done. And I'm like, that would be a major scandal. Or the general consensus is somebody in that room took their selector or Hall of Fame membership and being a selector foot and broke it off inside some poor Cantonian to find out who is chit-chatting from that room to Seth Wickersham and or Don Van Natta of ESPN, who broke the story about what, say, Bill Polian was saying in the room and what was being said in the room about any discussion to do with Bill Belichick and or Bob Kraft or anybody else who was up for enshrinement, how that got out, because that's a no-no. So some people took this statement as there's a mole hunt going on, you know, and there's no way out for somebody. That's a very deep cut 80s movie reference, or I think 90s. I don't know. At any rate.
Sean Young in that?
She definitely was.
80s.
Definitely was. I don't know. I went lower register on that.
Hey, look her up, kids. Good new segment, lower register.
Lower register.
Oh, I would destroy you would kill that.
you sure to work with
Let's
that.
Let's do that in the off season. Hey, baby.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Let's go lower.
Shall we move on?
That just got a little weird.
I feel like I should pull a Brian Gumbel. Moving on. And so I have no idea what that statement meant at all. But what we did sort of get with some dust settling and some calmer eyes looking at this is looking at the actual process that the Hall of Fame does have control over, I believe, which is the way the selectors handle their business with the number of people they can vote for. And, you know, we didn't discuss this yesterday because we were all sort of caught up. We were all sort of caught up in the, I guess, emotional aftermath of it. Mm-hmm. And there was a selector yesterday who put his name to the vote and the why. I'm Vi Gregorian of the Kansas City Star. Now, each team has a selector associated with it because that person will pound the table for, say, any Kansas City Chief, any Ram, any what have you that's up. And then there's a group of at-large selectors that includes a bunch of Hall of Famers, including Bill Polian, whose name was thrown about quite a bit yesterday. And apparently the vote for Belichick was lumped in with the vote for Kraft and the vote for the three senior committee members. That three senior committee finalists that were forwarded from that committee. Belichick was the one forwarded from the committee involving the coaches, and Kraft for the one involving the contributors. And the three folks who are coming from the senior committee, Ken Anderson, quarterback of the Bengals, Elsie Greenwood, part of the Steel Curtain, and Roger Craig, who's been waiting forever and a day to hear his name, first thousand guy in the NFL. And you could only vote for three of them. And that's what Mr. Gregorian was saying in the Kansas City Star. And he decided in his column, you should look it up, because it's very reasoned, although I think some people might push back. Brockman, the New England Patriot guy here, was just giving voice to that with a internationally derisive, meh. Okay. And that is, he voted for all three guys in the senior committee grouping.
Okay.
He put all his three votes there because he said these guys, it's rare for them to come up and get this far. And they've been waiting the longest out of anybody. And that Belichick is definitely going to get in at some point. And so he gave his vote to the three guys in Greenwood, Anderson, and Craig. As if Robert Kraft isn't in his mid-80s. I mean, but that was his point of view. So in other words, it had nothing to do with punishing Belichick for his previous warts or scandals or gates, whatever you want to call it. And So I just wanted to present that since we were saying every vote that went against Belichick was because he must have been, in the mind's eye of who didn't put his name on their ballot, been punished. And instead, it was a process-related non-vote for Bill Belichick, assuming he's going to come up again. And then there's others who were sending me, you know, texts as we're going back and forth about the statement that started this segment, that some folks might have thought, well, the new rule in which Belichick is immediately available, they didn't like that rule, so they're not going to vote for the first coach. It didn't matter who that coach was. That coach is not going to get the vote. Chris, I'm not giving credence to any of the...
I know you're not, but the fact that people are even throwing that out as an argument, it just shows how foolish this all
is. And then there is the issue that people are punishing him. Or there is a process-related issue. Why are you only letting me vote for three of these five?
That seemed like
why are we putting Belichick in this grouping even? Why can't this just be an up or down vote on the one coach? That's it. Because I guess there's a finite number of people that are going into the Canton class, and part of that is because they want to get this thing done before midnight with the speeches. Or they just want to keep the number tight. I don't have any reasoning for it. I also think that if there are other people like this Kansas City Star voter, Robert Kraft might not make it.
I would bet that doesn't either. Happen.
You would say that again?
I would bet that
you just double negatived us, so I think I know what you're saying.
I would bet that he doesn't make it.
That would be nuts.
Insane.
As well.
I talked to football players, pro football players, across the board, they think it's bull.
That was
Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck from back in the day.
Affleck.
So, you know,
the whole thing's
this is what's up. This is what's up right now with the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And at the end of the day, you know, these explanations are going to come out one by one. And so it looks like potentially a combination of punishment votes and sympathy votes for the guys in the senior committee that have been waiting forever and may never have gotten this far before and may never get this far again. Put it all together, and everybody seems to have egg on their face.
Yeah,
because Bill Belichick is a first ballot Hall of Famer in any standard, any place, anywhere, because there's no words in the bylaws that somebody who has been part of a scandal that causes a team to forfeit a first round draft pick or anything of the nature, that person can't be a first ballot Hall of Famer. That's not that's an interpretation of what you consider is an honor to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, if you want to like look at people who have scandals and leave them out, the numbers in that hall would be cut.
In any Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Like.
So that is the latest. I just wanted to start this show because we spent 3 hours yesterday fire and brimstoning this. And
because it was unbelievable.
It still is, and it still will be. Is it true? Did Jimmy Johnson say to Pat McAfee he's not showing to the Hall of Fame?
I did hear that. Yeah. He said he's not going to attend this year.
Wow. Well,
really?
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
But again, everybody, you know, people want to vote with their feet. They want to vote with their wallet. They want to vote in other ways. You know, I get it. But even though I just pointed out that this is potentially a massive toe stub face plant caused by a process that can be rectified in future years, this is still an incredible weekend. And part of the reason why the weekend is so great is not only because of the fans who show up, but it's the returning Hall of Famers.
Yep.
And that would just be a punishment only to the people who put this event on. And I hope, you know, Jimmy, who would maybe otherwise have shown up for the rest of this class, hopefully he reconsiders.
Yeah.
Because, you know, nothing beats a return to the Hall of Fame for me. as a broadcaster, I couldn't imagine what it would be to have a jacket and stroll into that room with the rest of the immortals while we're still all mortal on the proper side of the earth.
Also, why punish yourself? I mean, you
well, I don't know if
it, you've established that you don't agree with it, but like, why take yourself out of?
I don't, because he wants to protest something, and I understand that. Look what this day and age is. I have zero problem with people protesting. You know,
he was fired up yesterday.
I get it. He was fired up. He was completely fired up. But you know, I'd love to see him there because I'm sure we'll all be there. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Kyle Juszczyk is going to join us. We'll chop up Super Bowl 60, how he feels about the Seahawks potentially celebrating on his turf, the San Francisco 49ers. Jesse Minter is going to be joining us here on the program from Baltimore, from Balmer. Also, Ted McGinley of Shrinking, an outstanding show. I've got a, as I mentioned, a power ranking of the top Super Bowl 60 storylines you'll be sick and tired of hearing about over the next 10 days. That'll be my prediction for you. And by the way, my phone was blowing up yesterday, not just because of that Hall of Fame. Looks like I was a $400 clue on Tournament of Champion Jeopardy program yesterday. And
okay.
We'll review that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why are you saying like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, what was with the tone?
Yeah.
There's no tone? Why would there be tone?
I mean, there felt like tone.
Like, I would assume this was a happy thing,
yeah.
Right?
It's awesome.
It didn't sound like it was awesome.
No, we'll review it.
Okay, great.
Sound like you were peeved off about something.
We'll review it because I did spend 10 minutes between hearing about it and getting the details of it in a full-blown panic. We'll discuss that on this program. Kyle Juszczyk coming up next on The Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Back on The Rich Eisen Show on our simulcast on Disney Plus and the ESPN app. We're back on ESPN Radio. He is a perennial Pro Bowler and one of the best and all pro at his position. It is great to have on The Rich Eisen Show, courtesy of Flips with a Z, a man who's got two Z's in his last name, Kyle Juszczyk, everybody. Good to see you, Kyle. How are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing good, Rich. Man, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I am just doing great. So I'll just jump in, if you don't mind, with the topic that we've just been chopping up.
Yeah.
What did you think when you heard Belichick wasn't a first ballot Hall of Famer in the upcoming class, Kyle?
I just kind of rolled my eyes. Like, that's insane. Like, who has a better resume? I don't know how you really argue it. So I was pretty disappointed by the voters and not getting him in.
Well, I mean, you know, because again, you weren't playing back in the, you know, Spygate days or the Deflategate days, right?
I was playing in the Deflategate days.
You were. So okay, you were playing that.
Okay. I've been around long enough that I actually was a part of that.
Okay, cool. Well, I mean, at the time, though, were you sitting there thinking that this was potentially disqualifying for first ballot status, that you thought this was something that voters should keep in mind down the line, Kyle?
Honestly, no. For me, no, because, I mean, even, to the Spygate and the sign stealing, when you guys were just talking about that, like, for me, it's like, well, why do we use signs anyways? It's just so that we are not verbally saying exactly what the play is. And so, like, that's masking the play that you're trying to call. But how is that different than, like, going to signs and now you have to switch them because you already know people are going to try and interpret those sign calls? So, like, how is that different than interpreting a verbal call? Do you know what I'm saying? So, like, I don't really feel like that is really outside of the rules because, I mean, we're already trying to mask what we were saying out loud. So I don't know. They kind of seem the same to me, if that makes any sense.
Sure. I hear you, Kyle. I'm picking up what you're putting down. So at the end of the day, were you texting with friends of yours, colleagues of yours about this, and you chop it up with anybody or not?
I mean, really? Yeah, some of the guys that I was with, we talked about it and we're like, I mean, I feel like it's almost like it's a little laughable. Like, everyone's like, how is that possible? Like, it's just one of those things that, I mean, Bill Belichick, that is, everybody assumed, a surefire first ballot Hall of Famer. Like, how do you do better? how do you have a better resume? I mean, 7 Super Bowls? Are you kidding me? And like, or 6 or however many he had, it was. I don't know how you top that.
Well, he had 8 because he had 2 as an assistant.
There you go.
You know, you know, Kyle. So yeah, and he's a guy who for years would have to keep repainting what the. I'm not a boat guy. Is it a keel or a hull? Is it a ship? Is that what he'd have to repaint? Because yeah, it would be 5 rings.
Stern.
Okay, 6, 7, 8 rings and all that sort of stuff. And so you were drafted by Baltimore. That's right.
Yeah.
So back in the day, were you surprised John Harbaugh is changing addresses now?
Kyle? Yeah, I was. That was a big shock for me. I kind of assumed that he was entrenched there until he wanted to be done coaching. And I know how close he was with everybody there. And I kind of figured, you know, the guys that are in charge there, they would be there until they all decided that they wanted to move on to something new. So for him to move on and go to New York, it was a big surprise. And I think I had said even before they had a head coach that I felt like the Giants had a ton of potential going forward, and that if I was a head coaching candidate, that's one of the first places I would want to go in this offseason. And now with a coach like him, like I feel like they are set up for some major success next year.
Kyle Juszczyk here on the Rich Eisen Show. So how would you term the 49ers season, Kyle? What word would you use? What Harvard adjective would you use, Kyle, for this season?
Man, I feel it was a successful season. I see it that way. Obviously, you know, I'm going to catch flack. Someone's going to say, how is it successful? You didn't win the Super Bowl. Yeah, well, you know, 31 teams don't win the Super Bowl. So are we all unsuccessful? No, I don't think so. I think you're always building towards something. And I think if we're just being realistic in the season that we were headed into, we knew that we were going to have to rely on a lot of new people, a lot of young guys. We're going to have to step up and play in roles that, you know, they've never been asked to do. And it was going to be just kind of one of those seasons that we just needed to figure it out and figure out what is this team now, because the Niners, you know, we were transitioning. We're moving from an era, you know, where we had Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel, and we had, you know, all these offensive weapons, and we were had this defense that was just perennial Pro Bowlers that were stopping everybody. And this was just a new year. And then you tacked on all the injuries. We had to find out, you know, what era are we going into with the Niners? And I think with all the adversity that we had to deal with, and we won 12 regular season games, we won a wild card game against the defending champions, that it's hard for me not to say that wasn't a successful season.
Hey, Kyle, I'll even raise you. I see you and raise you. I think it was highly successful, successful. You were, you know, I'm looking at your numbers here, 17 games started, which by the way, is amazing on your team. You know, not many were able to say I've started 17 games for the 2025 San Francisco 49ers, because listen, there's injuries and there's adversity. You guys were playing for the right to host everybody in the playoffs, and obviously, and we'll get to the Seahawks in a second with you, but that was highly successful. And I'm just wondering, you know, what you saw behind the scenes that was it Kyle Shanahan's secret sauce? Was it just a group of guys? Because this year's, you know, success, high success, is only going to give better amounts of playing time experience to the guys who were the next men up, right? And they're going to be the guys maybe of the future there, Kyle, right?
That's exactly how I see this thing. And that's what gets me so excited and fired up for the upcoming season is that, I mean, for all the success that we had this season, all right, now let's bring back Fred Warner, Michael Williams, and let's add some high round draft picks. Let's add some really good free agents. And we're really, we're not scheduled to lose too much. Like, I feel like we're really just adding on, and you just added all that experience to all the young guys, like all those rookies, all those second year guys. Now they've played in a playoff game and they won in a playoff game on the road. So like for me, it's just like, we just built all that up and we're bringing that into next season. And you just got me fired up and excited at the end of the question that I forgot about what the beginning was.
Okay. But, no. Like why were you able to be so successful? Like,
it's never one answer. I think it's definitely a combination of things. Kyle is an absolutely incredible coach. So his scheme is always a huge thing, but I think so much of it was leadership this year in a culture that we have in that building. And we go all the way back to OTAs, excuse me. And Kyle had all the players on the team that had been with the Niners for 3 years or more, had them over to his house, had us over for dinner, and just kind of reframed and restructured the way we wanted to look at this season. For five seasons or so in a row, we're talking NFC championships, we're talking Super Bowls, we're talking one seeds. And like, that was the expectation. And that's, what we set out to do. This year, he wanted to reframe that. Yes, of course, that's always going to be your goal at the end of this whole thing. But he just wanted to reframe it in that, hey, let's just get better every single week. And let's just see where we're at the end of the season. Because there really was no way to know at the beginning of the year what this team was going to be. And I think we took that perspective of, all right, let's just get better, see how the cards, lay out, and let's take a real big focus as leaders, as guys that have been here and know what our culture is. And let's each one of us, let's grab a rookie. Let's grab a second year guy. Let's take him under our wing and let's show him how we do this thing. And I think that just made a huge impact on us. And as leaders, as captains of the team, like, that was something we were talking about all offseason. Is like, all right, hey, we got to bring these guys along. Like, it's not going to be enough that we just know what to do and we go do it. Like, we're going to need these guys in order to succeed. So we got to bring them along.
Carl Juszczyk here, courtesy of Flips, which we'll get to in a moment, but I'm having too good of a time reviewing the season and just chopping it up with you here, Kyle. Can you give me a story that encapsulizes Christian McCaffrey's greatness?
It's hard to encapsulate all of it in one because, as I've said many times, I truly feel like I feel Christian McCaffrey is the best football player I've ever played with, because he's so well-rounded. And, sometimes they love to, say jack of all trades, but master of none. I feel like he's the master of all trades. Like, this guy can be the best runner in the league. He can be the best receiver in the league. He's incredible at pass blocking. He's incredible at what he does without the ball. And I think that's something, people are just going to gloss that over and say, yeah, whatever, that's easy. But when you have the star caliber that you do as Christian McCaffrey, like, it is so easy that when you're not getting the ball, to just take that play off. When they're faking a handoff to you, you can just kind of close over and just kind of stop. And there's backs all across the league that'll get away with it, and their coach will never say a single word to them. But this guy, he will carry out his fake into the line of scrimmage and past, get tackled when he doesn't have the ball. If he's got a go route on the outside, a lot of guys know, I'm just clearing this out, or I'm just a decoy. Like, this doesn't matter. He's going to run it full speed. To just pick one moment is tough. But I had a great time this off season. I went out to his house in LA and I spent a few days with him training, and, to just see firsthand how much this guy puts into everything and how much it took for him to prepare for this season. And this guy, I no joke, it's 6 days out of the week. He was going from, he started probably at like 8:30 in the morning till no joke, 6 p.m. nonstop. He's got trainers with him the entire day. And we're going from one gym to one field to his pool to the different recovery place. And it's just, I'm exhausted. I by no means am putting in like 9 hour days in the off season, especially not 6 days out of the week. But this guy knew like so much was going to be asked of him. And, 430 touches, I think he had this season. And in order to be able to handle that, he knew he was going to have to prepare his body in the most extreme way possible. And just to see that dedication firsthand and You know, when everybody's enjoying their off season and people are working out, this guy took it to a whole new level.
You sure you didn't go there just to see where George Clooney used to live, Carl?
I also was interested in that.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. I know the ins and outs of Los Angeles real estate here on the Rich Eisen Show. What are you doing with flips, Kyle?
So flips, it was such an easy partnership for me. My wife and I, we are guilty. We've snuck some treats into the movie theaters, and Flips chocolate covered pretzels was always in our bag,
baby.
So when they reached out to us, we're like, man, this is a simple partnership. And they've got a fun petition going on the Flips website about switching the coin toss to the coin flip.
Ladies and gentlemen,
well done.
Okay. How can we help, Kyle? Yep. How can we help?
The petition, man. Go to the Flips website.
Okay.
It just makes sense. It's not the coin has to flip in order for it to be legal.
Mm-hmm.
So coin flip over a coin toss.
Understood. And you can go to the Flips Instagram page as well, or flipsthescript.com with a Z. Everybody's got to make sure it's with a Z. Join the movement at flipsthescript.com. Your Super Bowl 60 analysis, if you don't mind, before I let you go on your day. I think I'm already taking too much of your time. Awesome. You played Seattle three times. I don't know if you're aware, you were part of the first ever game in NFL history, first ever matchup in NFL history, where it was week one, the final week of the regular season, and in the playoffs. That's never happened before.
No, I wasn't aware.
There you go. I'm giving you information, nuggets, fun facts. what do you think? You know Seattle inside and out.
Yeah.
What do you think, Kyle?
Not a big fan of Seattle.
All right.
I like the Patriots' chances, man.
Is that because you don't want Seattle celebrating at Levi's Stadium, Kyle?
Hey man, they can celebrate wherever they want. I know I would celebrate if we won a Super Bowl in their stadium. So honestly, I'm not too salty about that. And I would be very happy for Clint Kubiak, Sam Darnold, and Eric Saubert. That's about it. But I golfed in the American Century Championship this past off with you, Rich, and Mike Vrabel was in my group. And I had so much fun with him, and what a great, great guy that is, and what an incredible coach and job he's done for the Patriots. And they just seem like a very well-rounded team from top to bottom, and I feel like they can go in there and win themselves a ring.
Okay, and I am mandated to follow up. I know why, but I need the details. Why don't you like the Seattle Seahawks? Why not?
I think we can all... we all know the answer there, but that's a division rival.
Mm-hmm.
It's a heated one. Every time we step on the field, there's a lot of words exchanged. And we'll just leave it at that, man. You never like your division rivals, and it's always a good matchup.
So they're yapping at you on the defensive side. They're yapping. There's a lot of lip flap.
We're both yapping, Rich. Okay. I'd be lying if I'm not returning the favor. But yes, we're both sides are yapping.
All right. And then before I let you go, Kyle, what's your future? What do you think? You just finished year 13, correct?
Finished 13.
Okay. What about you?
Feeling healthy, feeling great. I genuinely feel like I had one of my better seasons in maybe the last five seasons. So. I feel phenomenal. I'm under contract next year. I'll be in San Francisco, and we're ready to go make another run at this thing and hopefully have a few more chances. Yeah,
bang, bang, Niner gang. No doubt about that. Kyle, thanks for the time. Again, Flips the Script, FLIPZthescript.com, or go to Flips Instagram page. Be part of the movement to change it. Do you think this can work? We'll call it the coin flip instead of the coin toss.
Right? Just makes sense to me. It just makes sense.
You know, because there aren't awesome chocolate-covered pretzels named Toss, are there?
Exactly.
Definitely not. Yeah.
You know, it's as simple as... How's that for an argument? It doesn't... It's just not the same
ring.
Not the same taste. Best to your missus, Kyle. Thanks again.
Yeah. Thanks, Rich.
You got it. That's Kyle Juszczyk, everybody, here on the Rich Eisen Show. Doesn't like Seattle.
Got it. I'm up on that.
He likes flips more than the Seahawks. So he said...
Flips are...
He mentioned Darnold was on the team. Kubiak's from the world.
Yep.
Of Shanahan, right?
I like the vanilla and Eric flavor Salbert. Flips.
Oh, you do.
Yeah. Not.
Are you trying? Are you now?
Yeah.
Are you pushing? You want free stuff? Is that what you're saying?
You know, if a box happened to show up here, I wouldn't be the wouldn't be mad at it. Wouldn't be the worst thing.
I bought flips last week.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Why didn't you share it? Why didn't you flips me some?
Because they're at the crib. I can bring them here.
Oh, I see.
watching Shrinking last night, Sarah tried to flip me some chocolate flips, but I'd already brushed my teeth, and I have a strict rule. Yeah, no eating after I brush my teeth.
Why?
He won't go back and
once you brush
them.
Your teeth, it's over.
What does that mean? Your night is over.
No, absolutely not. Your night is over. You made your decision. You chose to brush. That's the end of it.
I remember he told me this one day. I was like,
talking to us or Kate?
He was very committed to it, too.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Once you brush your teeth.
The shop's closed, huh?
Shop's closed.
That's a good way to curb
snacking. Turn the lights back on. You know what I mean?
What time on average, do you brush your teeth?
Usually right before bed, but last night I made a decision.
What was the decision?
Early. Calling it early.
Why? All right.
That's a good way to curb snacking, though.
We're getting ready for Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Got to cut snacking day. I got to look tight. Super Bowl week.
What a weirdo. That was lower register. All right. We'll take a break.
We're going lower on this one.
We come back. Apparently, I was a Jeopardy clue.
I lost on Jeopardy.
Let's go.
It's coming up. Stop singing, man.
The Rich Eisen Show. The podcast.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial back here on The Rich Eisen Show. LinkedIn Jobs is stepping things up with their new AI assistant so you can feel confident you're finding top talent and hiring right the first time. Get this. Employees hired through LinkedIn are 30% more likely to stick around for at least a year compared to those hired through the leading competitor. Get started right now by posting your job for free at LinkedIn.com/Eisen. Don't forget that last part. That's LinkedIn.com/EISEN to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Okay, let's go to Gabriel in Washington. First up, how you been, Gabriel?
Gentlemen, good morning. How we doing?
What's going on?
What's up, I got a couple points I'd like to say to you guys. One being a higher register and something else with my chest.
Okay.
But I got to start with an apology. On Monday, when I called you guys, I fumbled my phone trying to switch it from my headphones to my phone so you can actually hear me.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, and I couldn't pick it up, and then I didn't hear the question you had to say, and I just, like, blanked and had a brain fart and just
all good.
I proceeded to say just, like, redundant, obvious stuff, and it sounded like a Magic Johnson tweet when I listened to it back. But anyway, so I got to up my game today. Anyway, so high register Thursday.
Hmm.
I got a brother-in-law that's a San Francisco 49ers fan. He told me that he'd be happy if Sam Darnold won the Super Bowl. So I got to thinking that everyone was tired of the Chiefs fatigue, and then now the Patriots are back, and everyone's like, oh, they get the Patriots. But I feel like the bandwagon for the Seahawks is pretty heavy going to the Super Bowl, and I think even the 49ers and Rams fans are rooting for the Seahawks.
Okay.
Wow.
Wow, that's a very higher register, Gabriel. And by the way, that was well done. He ramped himself up.
He did.
You know what I mean?
It was like Evel Knievel about to jump
the
king.
And then, did I say something about the Hall of Fame as well?
Sure.
So back to Super Bowl 49, Seahawks and Patriots, obviously. Maybe you kind of feel bad for Russell Wilson this week with all the Malcolm Butler stuff probably being posted everywhere. I'm not on social media no more, but I'm sure it's just littered. But I blame Russell Wilson for that pass. He's the one that threw the interception. He should have taken a page out of the previous Super Bowl opponent's playbook and called an Omaha when the play call came in. He should have said, Omaha, I'm going to turn around and hand the ball to Marshawn Lynch. Had he done that and not wanted to be the star, and Marshawn Lynch scores a touchdown, if the Seahawks did win the Super Bowl, I think – so we have two automatic Hall of Famers on that team already. I think Bobby Wagner's a shoe-in.
Right.
I think Richard Sherman gets in. But if Russell Wilson handed the ball off and Marshawn scores a touchdown, Marshawn Lynch would be a Hall of Famer. Cam Chancellor would be a Hall of Famer. Earl Thomas would be a Hall of Famer. Russell Wilson himself would be a Hall of Famer, and I think Pete Carroll would have got in. I think
Gabriel in Washington, everybody. There you go. Wow.
In the Hall of Fame if they would have won.
Call back, Gabriel. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. That's That's a mouthful right there. Listen.
Well, Cam and Earl.
We're going to spend a lot of time. And by the way, you know, I got my power rankings of the Super Bowl 60 storylines coming up. So I'm sitting in Taylor's basketball game yesterday, watching her ball out. Number 22 in your program. Number one in my heart. Put 22 on the stat sheet.
That's how she does.
She's dropping.
Bucket.
Chris Paul was in the crowd, too.
CP3.
Oh, my God. When Chris Paul, he couldn't have been nicer to Taylor afterwards, telling her about how well she played and how she clearly loves the game, and she's just lit up, and it's amazing. He couldn't have been greater. At any rate, my phone's blowing up, and as you know, Taylor is very well aware of while she's playing and balling and hooping, she will notice if you're on your phone. And so I...
Dad, no. Tell her to focus playing defense.
Excuse me. At any rate.
Dad just put up 10 in a row.
But the reason why my phone's blowing up is because apparently in a Tournament of Champions edition of Jeopardy last night, I was the $400 video clue for a category called Rags and Riches. Hit it.
This former SportsCenter anchor has helped us get up to speed on Sunday mornings with NFL Game Day Morning. Steven?
What's Eisen?
Rich Eisen is right.
So
nice.
Yes.
Got it right.
Thank goodness.
Great photo.
Thank goodness. Somebody got, because I got a bunch like, hey, you were a clue in Jeopardy, and I spent 10 minutes like sweating, like, what if nobody got the answer?
Well, you know, sometimes on the sports related questions,
it's a big whiff.
Just like,
but what was crickets. The what's Eisen? I'm not an object.
No.
Was I being objectified?
What's Eisen?
Hoskins said that this guy, that's his thing. He says what's for everything, because that qualifies when you're answering.
What's Eisen?
Great new drop.
Yeah.
Is that the new drop? What's Eisen?
What's Eisen?
Okay, great.
Go run another 40.
Could you imagine?
Here's a question, though, right?
Yeah.
When your picture pops up and you see this, you got the answer right.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, is there a name or is there someone that they would have said that would have just infuriated you?
That's hilarious.
You know, like
Matthew Berry.
Like the what?
What's Berry?
What's Berry?
What's Berry?
What?
That's pretty close. Not infuriated, but I mean, like, I don't.
What made you go, come on, son?
Are you slightly offended that you were only a $400 clue?
I'd be honest, I did want to know how much the value was.
Okay.
And then who came after.
But that also means that it means there's a degree of difficulty. So I want to be a challenge, as you know. I want to be a factor.
Sure, of course.
You know.
Was it?
What do you think? I need to be 1,000? Like, I mean, like, I need
don't know.
To be.
I think, you know, you definitely don't want to be 200, because then that's just like, oh, it's kind of a throwaway.
Yeah, I want value for my name.
Yeah, of course.
So when Susie showed it to me, because I hadn't seen it yet, I'm like, wait a minute, was that because I saw there was 200 and 400 left on the board and it didn't jump out of any particular square. We did rack it back to see how much his total went up so I could see whether which one it was.
Obviously, you want to be a daily double. That's kind
of course.
That's the GOAT
of
category.
Of course. Jesse Minter, the head coach of the Ravens, is coming up.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.